a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Paulie G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Interactive sports talk show in town. Astros split their weekend series against the Texas Rangers. We're going to be talking with our Astros front office insider, Jeremy Hood, momentarily about that weekend series and if the Astros need to add a bat sooner rather than later. Also, I may have missed out on a chance to help nudge Kim Olajuwon to nudge Giannis Antetokounmpo to demand out of Milwaukee. I saw Giannis at the airport while picking a friend up at the airport late last night.
You saw Olajuwon.
What?
You said Giannis.
Did I say Giannis? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
I saw Hakeem Olajuwon.
I did not see Giannis. That would be something, right? Before that.
Then you really blew it.
Pour some gasoline on the rumors.
You should have just been like, great weather, huh?
It's like muggy.
Lied to him.
Muggy at 8:30.
Just lied to him.
It's like, it was like 87 degrees at 9 p.m. last night. God. It's only May. We have some interesting facts coming in on the HR&P listener line on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston about Jeep Weekend. This text made me laugh. Texter, I'm not judging you, but this one makes me laugh. The arrests are bogus at Jeep Weekend. Look up the reasons for arrests. Lots of seatbelt and U-turn arrests. I was arrested a couple of years ago for 4 grams of weed. Listen, I'm not saying that I mind, but slightly different than a U-turn and for a seatbelt. No. It's a different violation. 4 grams? I mean, it's not a lot, but it's not nothing.
Yeah. It's definitely different than no seatbelt on. We had another call in, didn't want to get on air, but pass along that there were like full-on checkpoints. They stopped everybody at some parts
of it.
And
there still were 275 arrests.
Because they kept getting them on seatbelts and weed. Little knick-knack charges.
Some more comments here. The police warned them. They still showed up. Yeah. These people are not going to be stopped.
No. It's about community. They won't stop this community.
You're going to need some sort of High Plains Karen to stop them from coming. Just to absolutely stop them all. From the text line, these are Gen X kids screwing it up. Gen X kids, they are spazzing. Okay. Well, at least we're not blaming it on the boomers for a change. Huh? Because, Gen X kids are Gen Z, I think.
I get, but my parents are Gen X.
So, yeah, you're Gen Z, though.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you're borderline Gen Z. You're more of a millennial. You're the youngest millennial
whichever
possible.
Suits me in the room that I'm in. I'll be a millennial. I'll be Gen Z.
Are you a millennial right now in this moment? Because the Gen X kids are screwing up Jeep Weekend.
Yeah, millennial. Millennial shot.
And you are a Jeep. Right, you are a Jeep guy.
Yes.
Big time.
Disavow their actions.
Disavow their actions.
Although, I kind of want to go now.
From the 409, 409 Josh says a Beaumont cop got arrested at Jeep Weekend. Oh, damn. Was he trying to go undercover? And is this how they got him out? He was trying to disrupt all the operations?
Yeah. He was in too deep. Yeah.
From the 281, you don't get involved. You don't get arrested for seatbelt violations. Apparently, somebody else was involved. Okay, interesting.
It was no seatbelt and weed that got you.
Yeah, see that. It seems like the seatbelt would be the reason that they would look in your car, and then when they look in your car, that's when something hits the fan for you, like a gun you weren't supposed to have, because you're just gonna shoot guns up in the air in the middle of Jeep Weekend.
Oh no! Sometimes you just have a gun in your car, and just so happens that you are going to Jeep Weekend.
Junior Bronco says on the Twitch, I believe one of the newly elected Galveston Sheriff's campaign promises was to crack down on Jeep Weekend. I mean, they did, but would a crackdown mean less arrests or more arrests?
More.
If right.
It's successful.
Right. So don't you want to, I mean, do you want to go over the amount of arrests you had last year, which was north of 300? They had 275 this year. It was 313 last year. Is this actually a cracking down, or were things tamer? Were things more calm? Truly, I wouldn't know. I have to go next year. I have to go.
You'd think that would mean more for a little while and then less once you get them get these animals under control, you know?
These Jeep freaks.
The Jeep freak.
I'm not like them. They're not like us.
You've heard of the Greek freak. Now here's the Jeep freak.
Sean's going to start singing a Kendrick Lamar-esque song about the Jeep people.
Yeah.
They're not like me. They're not like me.
They aren't like me. I'm not like them, actually.
I'm not like them. I'm not like them. Junior Bronco says, Paul, it's the worst of society. Don't do it to yourself. I don't know, man. I'm so fascinated by this. Every single year. There's a post that I made from 3 years ago for the live stream show that I occasionally do on the side. And there are still people commenting on it because I said it took place in Galveston, even though it took place in Galveston County. They're like, actually, it's at Crystal Beach. Get it right. God, how do you not know this about Jeep Weekend? It's a post from 3 years ago. It still gets commented on. Like, I looked at my TikTok today. I was like, oh, a bunch of people are posting or commenting to a post that I made 3 years ago about Jeep Weekend. There's nothing else like it in the greater Houston area. It is basically a Mardi Gras-esque celebration that has gotten completely out of control, and there's not enough infrastructure to stop it.
Yeah, or what's the big, like, biker hangout thing? There's, like, a big, like...
Is that the one in Waco?
Oh, I thought there's, like, a big one that's in, like, South Dakota or something, where it's, like, they all ride their Harleys and hang out.
I'm looking this up really quickly. I remember what you're talking about. The biggest biker hangout in the United States. The Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota. You're right,
yeah,
Sean.
Okay, there we go.
700,000 attendees. 10-day event, live music, bike shows, races, and more. Major event for motorcyclists offering a place to connect with friends, see custom bikes, and enjoy the atmosphere. Yeah, but that must suck for Sturgis, North South Dakota.
Yeah, imagine you own the Quick Trip at Sturgis.
Right. And look, there are some motorcyclists who aren't like the South Park episode that just took a drive-by on all motorcyclists who just like to vroom their engine loud and get all pissy if you drive past them while they're in formation, end quote. I guarantee we'll get someone texting, yeah, you're just a cage driver. You're a cage driver. That's the insult that they have for people who drive in a car. But the people who are the worst of the motorcyclists are pretty awful, and I would assume that at least 5% of those 700,000 people in Sturgis are the worst. At least 5%.
Yeah, at least 5 I can get behind. I'd like to know the arrest results from Sturgis.
Yeah, we might have to look that
just
up.
Just to compare, because they have 7 times the people, so... Should have like 1,000 arrests.
700,000 is nuts. How does any small town handle this kind of thing? And there's probably an element of, well, this is the biggest business we're going to do all weekend, but God, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind
especially
of people.
Especially a place like South Dakota, too. Right? 700 people showing up in South Dakota. So many people.
Oh, man. Some text in on the 936. As a Tops Off weekend historian from 2012 to 2018, there used to be guys from Oklahoma who would trailer their Jeeps on 18-wheelers, then use the trailers as a stripper dance floor and DJ booth. Okay, well, now this person's trying to like make it sound like this is a place to go. Maybe I have to do it.
Yeah, if that's what they're trying to stop, then...
I don't know. It sounds pretty awesome.
I don't know whose side I'm supposed to be on.
What else do we have? Galveston also has a biker play, a biker get-together, too. Oh, wow. Dang, man. A biker rally. I feel sorry for the locals. LOL. Yeah, you got the poop on your beaches, flesh-eating bacteria, and then, like,
once a year,
a horde of locusts come into your town that are motorcyclists, and then another part of the year, you have a horde of Jeep drivers. At least bikers you can kind of drive around, you know?
Yeah. I'd be so pissed off if I lived in Crystal Beach.
Oh, my God.
Lived in one of these houses.
Absolutely brutal. How do you sell it? How do you get rid of it?
Like, people are going to the cops this weekend.
People are going to find out about Jeep Weekend. Yeah, it's not like you're charging the cops to, like, be in your, like it's an Airbnb. You're not making any money off of this. It's more you just wanted to give it to them so that random people don't break into your homes while you're on vacation, I'd bet. Oof. Brutal. By the way, just a side note, there's nothing worse than going to the bathroom. And, you know, we work at a building, and our floor has a men's bathroom that has one urinal. It has a regular stall, and it has a handicap stall. Nothing worse than going into the stall, and there's something left over. Nothing worse than it. I'm not saying, like, the person didn't flush, but the person didn't flush multiple times because there's a little bit left over. That was gross.
Oh, okay. So there's the one flush, but not – it didn't finish the job.
No, there's a little left over.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Because it is motion censored, but, like, also you should do a little follow-up.
Yeah,
because there is a button, too.
Do your duty after you've done your duty, okay?
Anyway. Exactly.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5-92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, what do we got? Perhaps we have Jeremy Booth. Perhaps we have another dumb reason to talk about a sport that honestly needs to do more so that we're not talking about it for this reason. Paul Galacho, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joining me in studio right now, our Astros front office insider, Jeremy Booth. He's back from Canada. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's good. Yeah, it was a good trip.
A good trip?
It was a very good trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it cold this time of year in Canada?
A little bit. A little bit. It was... I guess our temperature 80 degrees.
Okay.
Was, compared to Houston, it was ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it was cold, but no, for them it was 80 degrees in the daytime. I 50s at night. It was good. I had stayed in a cottage, a 9-bedroom cottage.
How could it be a cottage if it's 9 bedrooms?
That's you have to ask the owner.
Besides the point. Okay.
Yeah. No, but I was on the lake lake. Yeah, found a new hideaway spot on the New York border up there that I'm not going to tell anybody about.
Okay.
Didn't know where I'm going to be.
No, you're just flexing it. You had a nice little vacation.
Well,
Good for you.
Working vacation. You know, it was a little bit of, little bit of air tags.
Okay.
Stuff needed, so.
Work and play.
Yeah. you play while you work. No, I don't think I slept for 5 days at one point. I mean, you know, it's a slight exaggeration, but,
I don't know how you do that.
It was a lot, man. We had a lot going on around the game. Saw the Jays and Rays a couple nights too. So it was important.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're back in studio. Astros were in Arlington over the weekend. They split their 4-game series with Texas in a series where the starters, even Lance McCullers to a degree, did their job. The offense, once again, took a while to show up. A very interesting stat in the Astros' last 7 games, Jeremy. 18 of their 20 runs have been scored after the 6th inning, which is interesting. Okay, at least they're being persistent. They're being clutch. But it's taken a while to get going, and I opened up today's show thinking, okay, I mean, if the Astros want to be more than a team that's playing for wild card berth, slash a division title that's going to have them playing in the wild card round, they're going to have to add another bat. And it can't be, as Dana Brown will probably say at the trade deadline, say Yordan Alvarez is out for a long period of time.
Yep.
Bringing Yordan back was like acquiring a bat at the trade deadline. No, he's already on this roster,
he's
Dana.
Here. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the Astros can perhaps find a way to add a little bit more offense, because in the meantime, we are waiting for Jose Altuve to get back to where we remember him being, for Christian Walker to be more consistent. He did have a good weekend. And we're hoping that Isak Paredes can continue to do what he's been doing, and that Jeremy Peña, at least going into the weekend, can continue to do what he was doing.
You know, the thing about 500 clubs, essentially, right, is that sometimes they're not 500 clubs. Sometimes they're way above 500 clubs, you know, and that's how they settle there. This Astros club isn't going to beat the brains out of anybody offensively, and they're not going to they're not going to go ahead and go 7 innings every night as a rotation. It's not going to happen. They're really going to have to scratch and claw and find different pieces to get through. The lineup shuffling has been good. I'm 100% with you. I love Dana. But that's not the same thing, okay? Now, Javier would be different because he's been out.
Yes.
But that's Jordan's already here.
Right.
You already planned for him to be here.
And he has a strained hand.
Well, he has a strained Tampa is what it is. He has, he has going to – I'm kidding.
Okay,
you know, he misses that series a lot. You know what I mean? So I'm not – I'm just – the bottom line of this is the Astros need pieces. Depending on the night, 500 Club can eat any number of things. You know, you have the is it Wesniewski? How do you pronounce that name?
Hayden Wesniewski.
Wesniewski? Okay. Yeah. He's out. He's down, right? It's another arm that's down. You don't know what you're going to get from Garcia. And I know we're talking bats, but I'm working into that.
Right.
You don't have Javier. You don't have these guys back yet. That puts pressure on the offense, especially when you don't know what you're getting from Lance McCullers. I'm only saying that not to beat him up because he does have a place on the roster. But if you're miscasting him too, and all of a sudden all these guys are out of place, you can't win. Now, that was what was frustrating, not to bring the pain up, about 2024, is all the pieces were still here to go win another World Series, and that didn't happen because we wanted to play lineup stubbornness, right? And so now we're here, and now we're fighting for runs again. Now we're trying to fight for runs in a way that you really kind of need to. And so I feel like they're going to settle. If this is where Joe Espada has to manage, this is where Alex has to coach, is they have to get guys into the environment of we're going to be productive, we're going to move the lineup, we're not going to sit there and sit behind and try to, you know, trust you guys to do what you've always done, which has been Alex's approach. I'm a Cintron supporter, okay? Alex's approach has been, you guys are big leaguers, you know how to prepare, go do it. And that's not working right now. You have other players that need to be able to know how to play, swing the bat well when they're not performing. You want proof? I hate to say it this way, it's going to hurt people. But Bregman in Boston, I know he hits well in Fenway, but Bregman in Boston, just a couple of different looks at things, that another set of eyes, another approach, refinement.
I'm guessing you saw that article that was written about Alex Bregman on ESPN, where in his interview with the Red Sox said, hey, we're seeing some things. We'd like to fix them. And I do wonder if you're an Astros hitting coach and you've seen the kind of success that you've seen from Jose Altuve for years, from Alex Bregman for years, from Yordan Alvarez when he's been healthy for years, and if perhaps the approach has gotten stale because, as you said, Bregman's been awesome with Boston, even if Boston's not necessarily winning as a result of it.
Yeah, I'd say that anytime you have guys that are performing that way, there's different phases of being a hitting coach or any coach. There's no one size fits all of it. From a perspective of Alex Cintron with this club, in all fairness, the guys he had coached themselves to a point, okay? He doesn't have a roster like that now. He's got an aging Altuve. He's got an injured Alvarez. He's got no more Tucker, no more Bregman. Guys that he should have done more with were Bregman while he was here. He has a bunch of, if you really think about it, either new hitters in Walker, Paredes, or younger hitters around the rest of the lineup that he has to find ways to move around. And hitting in the two spot, one spot, four spot, seven spot is not the same. It's not the same approach. It's not the same spot in the lineup. It's not the same part of the game. And if we're just throwing them out there and letting them roll, well, yeah, you're going to have what you have right now, right? So, you know, it's funny. I was looking at the analysis. I was doing some analysis on all 30 clubs this morning and last night in my sleeping hours. So I was doing all those things. And so I'm looking at it. And I'm trying to figure out who needs what to win the division. You know, who are we going to get to the postseason? The Mariners, believe it or not, are set up the best, even to go get pieces at the deadline with the training from the system, if their ownership will let them do it, to win the division.
Yeah, we'll see.
They're set up, right? We know ownership is shady
at
best, okay?
Cheap, I would say.
Yeah, but they're set up. The Astros, unfortunately, and I don't want to hear anything about the drafting because you have to draft when you win. I don't want to hear it. Oh, Bobby Heck did a great job drafting, and all of a sudden we gave all the credit to the next group, and now all of a sudden they get passed because they were winning? Stop it, all right? The Mariners and some of the other clubs around them are still drafted well. You look at Texas. I'll get to the Astros here in a minute.
Texas has drafted well. There's some young players coming up.
And so their biggest need is probably pitching. Okay? Well, guess who's in AAA? Lighter. Guess who's in AA? Rocker. Right? You have a bunch of arms right down the road at Frisco, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, right down the road.
We just saw Lighter over the weekend. And he had a no-hitter for a while.
That's right.
He was looking awesome.
That's right. And you have a bunch of guys down in Round Rock that can help and add, or they can trade from to go get other established big leaguers, right? So both of those clubs, the two surrounding the Astros, are in a good spot. Now, the A's are doing okay. They're doing okay. But they're the A's.
And
they're not going to trade or add. And then the Angels, let's just Okay. Yeah. So when you're talking about where the Astros fit, the Astros are in a conundrum. They have to do more offensively with what they have. They have to get the more out of the pitching on the mound or that they have on the roster right now, because trading from the roster doesn't help them. They have to keep their guys here if they're going to try to win. Now, if they're going to tear it down, you can this guy this way, this guy this way, this guy this way, this guy this way, and you retool the system again. But there's not a whole lot down there they want to get rid of to go ahead and add some support. Bottom line is this. The Astros' offense ability doesn't scare me. The offensive approach for the second year in a row is bothering me. And I think that the more they work through that, at some point you got to go ahead and change what isn't working. The old adage is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it's broke, you might want to get to fixing. And as right now, it's broken because offensively, they're better than they're playing.
What's your suggestion?
Teach these guys. First of all, stop messing with the lineup. Stop moving guys around different spots.
Because, the series, Jeremy Pena leads off for the game on Friday and Saturday. And yesterday, Pena gets the day off. Isak Paredes is leading off. And, well, he did have the clutch 3-run homer in the 8th inning.
But that's not an every night deal. That's a raw occurrence. Right? You want anybody in baseball think Paredes should lead off every day?
I would not think so.
Let's just move on. So that's a one-off deal. Okay? The other thing is this whole resting guys like Pena, unless he's beat up, that kid's an energized bunny. Stay on the field. Stay on the field till you come off. Right? Let's not go ahead and move guys around. Now, the Astros aren't the best at being up front with medical records, so we'll go. I understand.
Very polite way to say it.
Yeah. It's a new and improved. It's a new and improved Jeremy over here. You know, being real gentle and soft. No, it's they're not in a position where they should share or overshare or do share well. But that said, you if you're moving guys in different spots, they have to know how to hit there. You have to be able to play the game a little different. How about hitting behind runners and hitting and runs and hitting runs and things along those lines, stealing bases, a little more action in ways that they're not doing it yet, even from the guys you don't think you should get it from. A slow guy on first base, another guy that's a high contact guy at the plate, maybe hit and run. Let's get some fastballs, get some velocities, get more balls in play. Let's do some things that can get some defenders uncomfortable. And it sounds simple, man. It sounds like baseball 101, but if we're not playing baseball 101, how are we going to win?
Right. Jeremy Booth, our Astros front office insider in studio. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're talking about some of the Astros' struggles offensively. Hey, they did split the weekend series against the Texas Rangers, so you could feel good about that. Offense got going in clutch moments.
Did
but
we talk about that before they played? Did we not say they were going to split?
I think you did.
Okay.
I think you did. I was hoping for a little bit more. It's been interesting because there was this guy, Jared Sandler, who I consider a friend. He's a good dude. But he's the Rangers' TV studio host, yeah. And the Rangers are starting to get a little chirpy.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a little chirpy. You're just like, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the Rangers had won the last six games between the Astros and Rangers. And also on top of that, he said that the Astros dynasty is going to end this year, that they will not win the American League West this year. Do you agree with that? Do you think they're not going to win it this year?
I think the Mariners are in the best position to win.
They have the pitching.
And if they're swinging the bat and they've locked up players long term, Cal Raleigh comes to mind, right? They've locked up some players.
Big dumper.
Right, long term. Some of their best prospects play the same position, and they're highly coveted around the league. Premium position guys. Doesn't mean they move them. It just means they can. One of the biggest problems with Jeff Luhnow and Mike Elias, and I said this yesterday as it pertains to Elias, was that they held on to their players too long. Whether they drafted well or not is irrelevant. Once they get them, you're past that stage. You got to let it go. I don't. But the team does. And then once you have that in front of you, how long do you keep a guy?
Right.
They keep him way too long. And so the Orioles have done that, switching back to the Astros or the Mariners, rather. If the Mariners ownership, who does not like to spend money. Fair?
Very fair.
Okay, if the Mariners ownership.
They're poor. Despite making profits, they act like they're poor.
I'm still scarred from my time up there with them not spending at the day.
I'm still scarred from getting random emails about, you're not talking enough Mariners. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't matter. Like, we're in the Seahawks.
Yeah, did I tell you the Nelson Cruz story?
Tell me the Nelson
Cruz story. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, let me get back to this.
Okay,
so the Mariners trade from depth at AAA level, or guys that are high-end prospects. They can go bring back players from other clubs to help them get over the hump. The Astros can't do that. So they have to change approach. So for me, believe it or not, it's Astros, Texas, Houston. In that order. Now, it doesn't mean Texas can't sneak into the wild card with the second one the Astros in the wild card. But I just think it's 1-2-3 in that order because of the depth and the help that those other two clubs can get. Seattle can trade for it. Texas can bring it up. I'm not so sure the Astros can do that.
Okay. Okay. So Mariners, Texas, Astros is how you see the LS for the,
at this moment.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
At this moment.
I mean, right now, neck and neck. A lot of season left.
The Astros have to be a little more like the Rays in this standpoint. And I was talking to, as I was, again, watching the Blue Jays and breaking them down, which is a very high-ceiling club that isn't performing like they should, and looking at the Rays, who is an overachieving club, who's performing kind of like they should on any given night. The Astros are lined up more like that at this point for this year, which means the high-ceiling players aren't over the field anymore. It's performers, right? So performers have to, they don't have that big upside extra impact. The impact comes from the performance at all times. There's no dreaming on a Christian Walker. There's no dreaming on a Paredes. These are just good players, and they can help you win games, and they should win games, but they're average major leaguers with the potential to be above that. You can't win a World Series with 9-5s, meaning 5, 50-grade, roll 5, major league players. You can't do that. You have to have some 7s. You got to have some 6s, some 5s. And, guys, in scouting world, that's the role. Roll 7 is a perennial all-star. 8's a Hall of Famer. You got one of those in Altuve. You know, a 6 is a above-average performer. A 5 is an everyday major leaguer. A 4 is your backups. 3s are your bench guys. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So if you can't do that with 5s, 4s, and 3s, and unless the 5s are playing like 6s. And a couple guys play like 7s. And the Astros are built with a bunch of 5s right now.
Is Christian Walker a 5?
He's a 5.
Okay.
He can be a 6. He's a 5. Paredes is a 5. Can be a 6. So you're buying into the performance in the machine and the ability to. Hunter Brown's a 7. If he was a reliever, he would have been a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Papelbon type, yeah. Right? He would have been a 7. If you're looking at Blanco, Blanco's a 6.
Oh.
If you're looking at Javier, Javier's a 6.
Okay.
If you're looking at Valdez, Valdez is a 6. He's not a 7. He's a 6.
Okay.
Verlander was a 7. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Like
just on the rotation. Hader, I don't care what anybody says. Hader apologist, I'm not. He's a 6.
6.
He's a good. He's a 6.
Okay.
If you're looking at McCullers at his best in the role he's in was a 5.
Whoa.
If you're looking at him in the closer role, I can't get 2017 out of my head.
You keep hitting this drum.
Go back to that. He's an 8.
Eight.
He's an 8.
Eight.
And so he could have been that. And so we took he could have been Billy Wagner right-handed. He could have done that. We decided that wasn't good enough for us. Hall of Fame potential. We don't want to do that. No, I want to take the ball every 5th day, pitch once every 4 years. You can't do that. Okay? And so when you look at your club, Altuve's an 8.
This is a side note, and Jeremy Booth, our Astros front office insider.
Lance, nothing but respect for you, but we're just going to disagree till it's over what role you should have played here. Go ahead.
Okay. So Lance knows what he wants to be. And
that's
you see him in this.
Good for him.
So private conversations remain private conversations. Have you ever talked about this with Dana? Because I know you and Dana like at least talk, right? Okay. That's all I needed. Was curious.
I was talking to an executive this morning.
Shut up, Jeremy. I get it.
Not for the Astros. And they listen. They listen anyway. Like, you know, I mean, I will say this. They listen and they watch and we talk. Like I was talking about some of the stuff that's happening in the Future Star Series world recently. He's like, oh, yeah, as soon as it goes out, I see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like, they're paying attention. I say that to say that ownership can help you and get in the way, and that when it comes to the Astros right now, they're built with a bunch of 5s. Jim Crane's goal with Dana, it was a good goal, was to go get guys you can't sign and get controllable years. They got that. Where's your impact? And I'm not killing the trades at all. Like, I get it. I think it was a really good trade. You know what your impact is? It's Cam Smith. That's your impact. He's just not there yet. He's got to continue to grow and develop and become who he is.
So Cam Smith at this moment in time is, and I'm obviously very early on, but so on this scale, so 1 through 8, 8 is Hall of Famer, 7 is All-Star, 6 is above average, 5 is a starter. Where is Cam Smith right now?
It's a 2.
A 2. Dang, okay.
Yeah, he's a 2.
How much better can he get between now and the end of the year? Because we talk about development, we talk about progression. Obviously, the more reps you get, the better you get. And we've seen some guys, and it's a rookie season as well, so there's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs. He did have a RBI double over the weekend, for what it's worth.
So, I'll revise. He's a 3.
Okay.
He's a 3. He's a fringe player right now, but that's expected. Like, it's expected. He's getting more games in the big leagues than he got in the minors.
And you've had the measured expectations for Cam Smith going into the year, and I think there are very fair expectations. I mean, you're throwing him out there. It's fun, but what are the realistic returns that you're going to get?
240 and 12?
Right.
240 and 15?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, so I think he could end up being a 45, which is between a 4 and a 5 by the end of the year. I think if all goes well, at the end of 26, He's a solid five. That's a big jump because the league's going to adjust back. He's going to establish himself there, right? Mm-hmm. By the time he's in 27, he could be a 55 to a 60 grade player, which is an all-star.
With what we've seen, and I think you did give a number for Peña. You were going through the whole roster, but let's focus on Jeremy Peña for a moment because Peña has been red hot since moving into that leadoff spot. Where is Peña? Where do you think Peña is eventually? Because right now, I mean, this has been a pretty good start. He's cooled off a little bit. I think he was 0-7 Friday, Saturday before they gave him a day off yesterday.
Peña's a 5.
5, okay.
Now, he could be a 6 used correctly, which is what you're seeing now. You're seeing an impact player. You think back to the first year, which, by the way, was way unfair and unrealistic to judge a career on that because he just got there. But if you think back to that time, you think back to what you're seeing now, there's flashes of Jeremy Peña right now that showed up against in the 22, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you start seeing that, what was the difference maker? I don't know. Hitting at the top of the lineup might have something to do with it. I don't know. It could be me. So when you bring that together and you look at what a guy can be, used correctly, he could be a 6. He's a 5 otherwise, and in different spots, he could be a 4. That's killing your personnel, right? And so if I'm going to go around the field, let's do it this way. Let's go around the field. Okay, Diaz behind the plate, that's your guy? That's our guy?
Yes.
He's a 55. He's a just above average major league regular.
Okay.
That's a good player behind the plate. Paredes is a 5 at third base. Peña for right now, because where he's hitting the lineup, we'll call him a 6. Okay? Altuve playing second base? Where are we going to put him? Where do you want to put Altuve?
I mean, does it matter what position he's playing if he's not hitting? I mean, we're looking at Altuve as a fielder.
Well, it does because that may have something to do with it. That's
not
the point.
Oh, okay. Answer the question for me because
he's a 6.
Okay.
Still a 6.
Okay.
Walker's a 5.
5.
Can be a 6. Right field, Cam Smith, we're going to put him out there.
You said he's a 3 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay. Center field.
Jake Myers.
Myers is a 4.
He's a 4.
He's a 4.
Okay.
He has streaks, but he's a 4.
Okay.
Once again, we're talking about a guy that was not on the playoff roster, who everybody keeps singing praises for and gets buried every time the chips are down. Just doesn't do it. All right? So he's a 4. And left field is?
Right now, I mean, it is Altuve, but it's put McCormick also been Zach DiCenzo.
DiCenzo's a 3. Who else?
McCormick, we don't really see much McCormick.
He's a 3.
He's a 3 as well.
Okay, so you have, we'll put Altuve in left field. Mm-hmm. And where do we put Dubon?
I would hope it's second base.
Dubon's a 5.
We haven't seen a lot of Dubon this year.
He's still a 5. That's the one guy they should be playing more of. Even if it's all over the place, he's a 5.
What do you think it is about them not playing Dubon as much? Because this was a last year thing, too. And I mean, he was very good the year before.
I can't figure out ever playing Myers ahead of Dubon. I can't get it.
I'm with you on that front, but yeah. I'm a baseball casual.
No, you're better than that.
Well, thank you.
That's one that sticks with me a little bit. I can't get not playing Dubon for Myers because the defensive center field for Dubon, a guy could have won a gold glove. So I don't understand if that's what we're going to go there. Somewhere on the field for him 5 days a week. He is enough of a player that hitting in the right spot can either give you a good at bat, steal bases, save your runs defensively, hit some hard contact with occasional power. The fact that he's not playing somewhere is baffling. That means there's something else going on that we don't know about, no matter what they tell you.
It is strange because they all seem to love him in the clubhouse. But I'm with you in that. Listen, Jake Myers has had a good start to this season, but it's one that, like you, I'm expecting to cool off. And I think it has been starting to cool off a little bit.
I'm out.
Out.
I've always been out. And nothing against, one of the best players on the planet. Like, there's no taking it away. He's a big leaguer, right? But as far as playing every day, if we go down the Astros lineup that I just gave you, I gave you a bunch of 5s with some 4s and an occasional 6. That's a 500 team. Now, if you plug the rotation, and we'll do it again, Brown's a 7, Valdez is a 6, Blanco's a 6 in a good time or in a good position of strength around him. And after that, it drops off pretty good, right? I mean, who's in their 4 spot? McCullers? McCullers right now is a 4. Right now, he's a 4. And their 5 was how you pronounce it again?
Hayden Wesneski, yes.
Wesneski, he's out. So they don't have a 5th starter. And Arrighetti's out, too. And Arrighetti's a 4 as well.
Just to bring it back to Dubon for a moment, just to kind of drive home the point. So the Astros, to this point, they have played in 46 games. And Mauricio Dubon has played 28 of them. He's only played more than Zach DiCenzo, who's played 27 games, and Victor Caratini, who's played 26 games.
Yeah, so he's playing every other day, basically, in some capacity.
Myers has played all but one game this year.
Yeah, I can't do it. Somebody's in there. Some analyst is in there pointing their fingers at him. So that happened with Click, too, though. Remember, James Click said this guy's like...
Everyone loves the guy.
I don't.
Hey, listen, I'm glad at least somebody is saying well, what
let,
we
let
all
me,
are thinking.
Let me tell you how this can impact you. So I'd tell you the Nelson Cruz story.
Yes.
For the first time, I'm going to tell this story on air.
Oh.
in Seattle. Jack Cerenzik's the GM. We're in a little bit of a run. We're going, things are going a little bit. Jack had done the groundwork. He'd done a good job with it. Tom McNamara was a scouting director. Mac had drafted okay. It's okay. Mac was better after the first round. He drafted okay up top. He was really good after the first round. Edwin Diaz, Tywan Walker, those are all Mac's picks, right? Anyway, we Brad Miller, Nick Franklin, right? Okay. Bottom line, we signed Cano. I mean, we follow all these players, you know, or these clubs. I had Kansas City. I had New York. I had the big league club, Double A up, at the end of the season. So I'm in Jeter's documentary, The Captain. It's when it was great. I was watching it when it came out, and I see Jeter get hurt at first base. And I was at that game. You know what I mean? I was there. And so I go to that, and I'm watching this, and I'm sitting behind home plate four rows back. Well, that year we signed Cano. The next year, I think that was the year that Cruz – yeah, that was 12, signed Cano for 13. At the end of 13, Cruz is in Baltimore, where Cruz got busted for PEDs. Maybe that's what it was in 13, okay? And so Jack's getting ready to sign Cano, or sign Cruz, because we need a right-handed bat. And guess who Robinson Cano's best friend is?
Oh.
Nelson Cruz. So we need a right-handed bat, okay? So we're going to go down the line, and we're trying. Ownership gets in the middle. This is Seattle now. Ownership gets in the middle at the last minute and says, we can't sign him because of PEDs.
Dang. Still signed him anyway.
Well, they a year later. Okay. So I go into, me and Mac are in spring training. We go in and we sit down, and Jack says, sit down. Go in his office. What do we got? We're overlooking the field and Peoria complex, the beautiful confines, watching guys get ready. And Jack says, we can't sign Cruz. And Mac and I went, what? What? He goes, and Pete Vukovic might have been there, and Ted Simmons might have been there too. So we can't sign Nelson Cruz. Why? Ownership won't let us. It was like $5 million. Ownership won't let us. Okay.
Yeah.
So Baltimore signed him. I believe he was in Baltimore.
One year, $8 million in Baltimore in 2014. Yeah.
Memory is still working. Okay. So anyway, he goes out, hits 40. Right? Hits 40. We lose in the last day before getting to the playoffs. I think Seager struck out. I never forget it. And I'm watching from TV from the other side of the country, and strike three, and that's it. There we go. And this is still prime Felix. We're still in prime Felix time, and we've got good players. We've got, like, Cliff Lee. We got some dudes, you know what I mean? And,
right.
Okay, so the next year we come back, we're not the same. We're just not the same club. And we got Cruz, but we weren't the same club. Sometimes those type of signings matter. It's not always about tomorrow. It's not, you got to go ahead and get some impact. And Cruz wanted like $5 million to come to Seattle and play next to his buddy Cano on a 1-year deal. And then we could have signed him for whatever he got. We signed him the next year for 10 times.
That's wild. Because, yeah, all right, so 2013, turns down a $14 million qualifying offer from the Rangers, signs for $8 million with the Orioles, and then when he eventually signs with the Mariners.
The next year.
These are the home run numbers in his four seasons in Seattle. 2015, he hits .302 with 44 home runs, a career high. 2016, .287 with 43 home runs. 2017, he led the American League in runs batted in. He also had 39 home runs, an OPS of .924, hit his 300th career home run. 2018, he hit .256, but he had 37 homers.
Oh.
So we're talking like close to 200 home runs over 4 years.
Seattle.
Yeah, which is hard to do.
Which is ridiculous. Like it's like, go back to the lineup we had, and I'm Astros fans, I want you to think about how this can change the culture. But go back to the lineup we had in 2014 before we had him.
Yeah.
Okay? Because remember, we were going to sign him after 13 because he was still with Texas. Mm-hmm. We had Cano at second. I want to say we still had Brendan Ryan at short, but that was being upgraded. We had Seager at third base. We had Smoke playing first, which was okay. We had Michael Saunders out there in the outfield. We had Franklin Gutierrez out there in the outfield. And we had Ackley, who was a part-time guy. And Zunino already got to the big leagues as a catcher.
Mm.
And we had the staff. We had the players.
Yeah.
And all we needed was a right-handed power bat to push over the top. And an outfielder, if we could get it, and the answer was,
Wow.
For $5 million.
That's it. Damn.
So that's how much one player can change an organization, and one player can change the course of everybody else around him. The Mariners that year, I would have argued, would at least won the division and certainly got into the ALCS. Whether or not they would have got to the World Series, who knows? But they would have got that far.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, that organization's still searching a decade later.
That's crazy.
12 years later. So that's how it can change. Why do I say that? Because the Astros, every pick, every selection, every player does matter. And so if you're going to go ahead and turn that back around with the Astros, you have to get guys to play above. If you have no sevens and all you have is fives, they got to play like sixes to win.
There you go. Gosh. Well, hopefully we get that. He's Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider. You're also doing a million different things, whether it's the podcast, the KHOU 11 stuff that you do, and also, of course, New Balance Baseball, Future Stars. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, we...
FutureStarSeries.com.
We've launched this league. It's North America. Canada's set. That was just... That's part of the reason why I was up there. The Canadian version of that. All the high-ceiling prospects around the world. And I do mean that. Around the world. There's five other countries in the Caribbean that are now involved that are being started. But we had a moment yesterday in Future Stars Series land. In Future Stars Series, as you guys know, is generated here in Houston, where we started. At the time I was living in Katy. I live in Fulshear now. And that first year in 2017 or 16, turning into 17, some pretty good players came through here. Grayson Rodriguez, Noah Naylor, Bo Naylor, who was famously selected right after Seth Beer by the Houston Astros. That worked out. And then you've got a guy named Mick Abel, who was here as a 15-year-old.
Damn.
And Abel, I'm a failure. I wrote about it. I put it out there. But Abel is a feel-good story for all of us. For him, the ability was always there, but the way that happened was a very closely connected group, which we were very fortunate to be a part of. It's an honor to have been trusted by the family the way it was, and the way it continues to be, and with the way Mick busted in yesterday, man, you know, it couldn't have been any better. So I'm happy awesome. For him, and that we're kind of celebrating that moment for the minute. The moment's got through till 5 o'clock today, and then the next game starts, and we're done. But we're enjoying Mick Abel.
FutureStarSeries.com. He's Jeremy Booth. He's our Houston Astros front office insider. Jeremy, always a pleasure.
Yeah, man.
Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Brock Purdy got a new contract from the San Francisco 49ers. 5 years, $265 million total. It's $181 million guaranteed. Basically, it is a six-year, $179 million contract that replaces the current contract that he has for about $45 million a year. It has a no-trade clause, and since we don't really have time to do it today, we'll probably talk about it tomorrow. You know what it means for the next quarterback who's up for a big contract? It is none other than Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. He is the next guy. Embrace debate. I know a lot of the Twitchers hate C.J. Stroud. I'm a fan of C.J. Stroud. I think he's good. I actually enjoy listening to him. Can't say the same about a lot of quarterbacks. Like Russell Wilson wearing a Giants Letterman jacket. A Knicks Letterman jacket at the Celtics-Knicks game, game six. Like, pour salt on the wound, why don't you? See that bandwagoning fraud jump on. Anyway, hey, what else is going on around the National Football League? Nick Sirianni got an extension. Man, I mean, we thought this guy was going to get canned after last year going into the season, but you bring in Saquon Barkley and a lot of things get fixed. Eagles agreed to a multi-year extension with Nick Sirianni. Terms of the extension were not disclosed. The thing that bothers me about NFL coaching contracts is we never know the salary and we never know the length of years until somebody's in the last year of their contract. Generally, that's only brought up as a way to, I think, draw up interest. Or maybe not draw up interest, draw up pressure for the organization to extend the guy. Yeah. Or it's the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are just like, we like everyone seeing us walking around our house naked.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is right. That I wish that we did have just like a list of coaching salaries. Like,
right.
Just seeing how much guys get paid.
I want to know who's underpaid and who's not. If all these players' contracts are available, why aren't the coaches' contracts available? It's weird.
And whose deal is coming up? Like who? I feel like you would understand the league more if you were like, well, this guy has 1 year on his contract left. They, you know, if Zach Taylor misses the playoffs again, he's fired. Or if Zach Taylor has 5 years left and he misses the playoffs, chances are he doesn't get fired.
Is there a coaches union?
Yeah, there has to be.
There must be, because it would stand to reason, A, if the contracts are all made public, that means that the contracts can get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, because you can go...
North.
Hey, this guy makes that. I'm Kevin O'Connell. This guy makes more than me.
We always used to know Belichick was the most paid coach in the league, but we didn't know what he was making. Like, yeah. We never had any clue. I'm sure it was like probably close to $20 million a year or something like that, but
yeah, probably.
It's insane. So there you go. That's the 10-minute drill. It was 5 minutes. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is a baseball show now.
It is a baseball show now. Ugh. I mean, yeah, I love baseball.
It's a baseball city, and it's a baseball show.
It's not a baseball town. No, it's not a baseball city. It's not a baseball town. It's a football town. But we didn't talk that much football today. So how about that? What's your Astros confidence level 1 through 5 after this past weekend? You answer that question on the most interactive sports talk show in town. We'll take a look back at what the Astros did against the Rangers over the weekend, the good and the bad. Stay put. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Houston. This is Jeremy Booth, MLB front office insider for the Paul Gallant Show, here to tell you about the preeminent amateur series, the Future Stars Series. It's a key focus of the draft calendar and is regarded as a unifier in the scouting industry. Many alums from the Future Stars Series have been drafted or signed, and so far they've tallied up over $300 million in signing bonuses. To find out more about the Future Stars Series, go to FutureStarsSeries.com.